It has been a long and difficult journey for the Broncos and Chiefs. Well, for the Broncos in the Broncos-Chiefs matchups since 2015. I have some notes that I went through here. And I know everybody's doing the, hey, here's what wasn't there when this was, when the last time the Broncos won. Okay. I'm here to just talk about the actual matchups and some of the things that stood out to me. November 15th, 2015. It was an interesting time. That was the year the Broncos won the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning struggled in that game. Brock Osweiler took over. And Denver lost, but still got the last laugh because they went on to win the division, went on to get the number one seed, went on to win the AFC Championship, and went on to win the Super Bowl. Still, Chiefs lost, win 29-13. The next season, 2016, Peyton Manning is gone. Trevor Siemian is the man. He takes over. Denver lost 30-27 in overtime. So it still wasn't like the Broncos were not a bad team that year. They were 9-7. Trevor Siemian threw for 368 yards and three touchdowns. Did we find our quarterback? Emmanuel Sanders had seven receptions, 112 yards and a touchdown. Oh boy, we still got guys. We got playmakers. Still lost, though, in overtime. That same season, still Trevor Siemian in charge, 2016. They lost 33-10. Ooh, things had gotten progressively worse. Not well, maybe not progressively when you're 9-7. Oh, and Travis Kelce had, Tyreek Hill had himself a game on the ground, and reverses and all those jet sweeps that they would do. He had 95 rushing yards and a touchdown. Travis Kelce, 11 receptions for 160 yards and a touchdown. Travis Kelce starting to tear it up. Now, those are still the Alex Smith days. Next, Monday Night Football 2017, October 30th, day before Halloween. Already scary for the Broncos. Trevor Siemian is still the quarterback at this point. You're still wondering what that's going to look like. We know they drafted Paxton Lynch, but Trevor Siemian's still the guy. 29-19, you lose. He threw three interceptions, whereas Travis Kelce, again, seven receptions, 133 yards, and a touchdown. Monster game. The next game, Denver's season was drifting away. Vance Joseph was losing control. He was not having the time of his life. And it was Patrick Mahomes' first start. The Chiefs had already secured their playoff spot, so Alex Smith sitting down. Mahomes threw for 284 yards and one interception. Paxton Lynch, two touchdowns, but also two interceptions. Albert Wilson in that game for the Chiefs. 10 receptions for 147 yards. Denver loses 27-24. Move on. Next year, Vance Joseph still in charge. They take on Kansas City on October 1st. They lose 27-23. Again, competitive game. This time, it's Case Keenum taking over. Mahomes threw for 300 yards, one touchdown. Kareem Hunt in that game on October 1st, 2018, 121 yards and a touchdown. Oh, and Travis Kelce, seven receptions, 78 yards and a touchdown. You lose. The Case Keenum time is not great. So 2018 was a rough go. Still, all these are rough, but they're still kind of competitive. Let's fast forward a bit. Well, no, I got the October 28th game. Sorry. They lost 30-23. Mahomes had four touchdowns in that game. Keenum, still the quarterback. Cortland Sutton had 78 yards receiving. They found a nice connection. Still lost by seven. New quarterback, new problems. 2019, it's going to be Vic Fangio. Joe Flacco. Waiting for Drew Locke to take over. Joe Flacco was the quarterback. Denver lost that first game in 2019 to the Chiefs 30-6. 30-6. the game was so bad. I don't know if Mahomes got hurt in that game or what, but Matt Moore took over. So I don't know if they were like up big. I blanked out, man. You try to forget. December 15, 2019. Remember, Drew Lock had just won three in a row or two in a row. Either way, he played the last four games. Joe Flacco was not in his prime, as John Elway told us. And it was the Drew Lock show for at least a moment. And they got smoked. It was a blizzard. It was snowing like crazy. You lost 23-3. Travis Kelce, 11 receptions, 142 yards. Monster game. 2020, Vic Fangio, still running the show there. You lost on October 25th, 43-16. Drew Lock was the starter in that game still. That was the first year for him, the first official year. He threw two interceptions. December 6th, you lost 22-16. Again, somewhat competitive. Melvin Gordon, 131 yards. Travis Kelce, 8 receptions, 136 yards and a touchdown. Let's go to 2021. That was the decision year. Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock battle it out for our hearts and our souls. December 5th, Broncos lost 22-9. Teddy Bridgewater threw two interceptions and one pick six. It wasn't even a great game for Mahomes, but defensively, you had a pick six in there. Drew Lock got the start because Bridgewater was hurt on January 8th, where they lost 28-24. Melvin Gordon ran 110 yards and a touchdown. Tim Patrick had a Tim Patrick sighting. 6 receptions for 95 yards. Vic Fangio is no more. Enter Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson in 2022. December 11th, they lost 34-28. Russ had 3 touchdowns, but it didn't really matter. Mahomes had 3 touchdowns, but 3 interceptions as well, but still didn't matter. They won. January 1st, New Year's Day, they lost 27-24. That was under the coach.
Rosberg.
The coach of the coach. Summary here. Travis Kelce destroys the Broncos, and no matter how many quarterbacks we throw at Kansas City, it doesn't seem to matter. Also a theme, Broncos play the Chiefs pretty close. Save for one time in 2016, they get blasted. Got blasted on October 28th, 2019. Got blasted of October 25th of 2020. Didn't really get blasted a lot, dude. So if you're looking at history between these two teams and you're wanting to make a bet tonight, and the tight-knit brewing poll question is up, do the Broncos cover? 10.5. November 15th, it was not a cover either. They were bad. That first loss of the streak, of the 15. But history might show you to lean toward the cover tonight with 10.5 because the Broncos have been close to the Kansas City Chiefs. But are the Chiefs that much better? The Broncos that much worse? I don't know that this Broncos team, maybe this Broncos team is, as far as playmakers go, I'm looking at a lot of these games. You had Emmanuel Sanders in those games. Philip Lindsay had a stint there where he was running the ball well. Overall, it has been a miserable time. Miserable for Broncos fans as this just keeps getting worse. But you got to break it at some point, right? At some point, Denver's got to find a way through this. And wouldn't it make sense that tonight would be that night? Thursday night football, mid-October. Crazy things going on. Taylor Swift is a gigantic distraction. Could this be the time Denver breaks the streak? And I don't even know if they save their season because I think it's already done. 1-4, that would be one heck of a comeback. Maybe they beat the Chiefs. Maybe they surprise the world tonight and they survive. And then they probably put up a dud of a game against the Green Bay Packers.
So I know this has been popping up throughout the week. The Broncos' streak against the Chiefs isn't the longest in the NFL.
What is that?
It is the Jets and the Patriots. Jets have lost 14 straight.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, the Broncos are 15.
Oh.
Aren't they? Let me see. Let's just count them, Angel. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It is 15. So, I don't know. Maybe somebody's trying to hook up the Broncos and make that record not look as bad. But this is embarrassingly bad. You know, part of the Broncos being such a bad team is losing to the Chiefs every single year.
Yeah, so they're like right neck and neck each other. So yeah. It's Broncos, Chiefs, Jets, Patriots are the two longest active streaks. Mm.
Have they played each other yet? Jets, Pats?
Yes.
Jets, Pats.
They lost to the Patriots 15-10. Somehow.
Patriots are bad. That answers that old argument too, right? Belichick or Brady?
I think so.
I think we're done with that one. Because Brady instantly went and won a Super Bowl. Belichick's probably going to have to do...
start again.
He's going to have to do some soul searching to try to bounce out of this. Have the Patriots even been in the playoffs?
They
since
went
Brady?
In 2019.
And was that with...
That was Mac Jones' rookie year.
Has Mac Jones already been in the league that long?
It's his third year?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to end probably this year. He'll be a backup. Probably career backup at this point.
Maybe. I think there's still enough there. You have to put him in the right system. And if the Patriots system isn't the right way, then maybe you need to put him in a Shanahan type.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I do know that the Bears, UNC-wise, they need a win this weekend going up against Sacramento State. We're going to take a break here, catch up with UNC's offensive coordinator, Blair Peterson, in just a moment. But first, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
You want high school football? You've come to the right place. High school football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 22 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline, UNC Bears offensive coordinator, Blair Peterson. Coach, great to have you on the program. I believe this is our first time on here, so excited to get to know you a little bit more here via the show, Coach.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Excited to talk with you guys for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, so talk to us a little bit about the bye week and everything. You know, again, new coaching staff, new culture. You guys have a lot of work to do. We know that going in. But was it nice just to kind of get maybe a bye week, get a chance to get away for a second or two, and get right back at it this weekend?
I'll tell you what. I think the bye week came at just the perfect time for where we're at as a program right now. Obviously, haven't got the results on the field we've been wanting, but we have been taking major steps every week in the right direction and building it how we want to build it. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and they're like, man, you know, what a rough start. And I said, yeah, but we're building it to last. We're not looking for a quick fix and you can get out. We're building it to last. And so, you know, you got to come in, and you're building a whole culture. You're building the program from the ground up. And just so proud of our guys for the week, you know, the work they're putting in week in and week out. Thought this bye week's been great. The kids have been great. And, you know, we're looking forward to competing versus Sac State on Saturday.
Coach, I really like to hear how you said that, too. We're building it to last. And, you know, on this show a lot, we talk Broncos. We talk, you know, kind of what they keep grasping. They keep reaching. And they keep trying to fill this hole by throwing more money at it. When sometimes maybe they just need to focus and take some lumps while building at the same time. So I think what you just said there makes so much sense, because perhaps that's been missing for the University of Northern Colorado on the football side for the past several years.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is, you look at where we're at and you see the record and you say, man, they haven't won a game. But if you go back and look at the games and you watch the tape, you see the championship effort from our players is starting to, you know, you're starting to get more of that from more and more guys. And to see where we were in week one to where we are now, it's a completely different ball club. You know, and then, you know, we had our last two losses. I mean, some of the flukiest things I've ever seen in my life, you know. I mean, we're walking in for a 75-yard touchdown and we get the ball punched out at the one, and you know, the other, you know, we're beating Weber State with 6 minutes to go, and you know, the three interceptions. And don't get me wrong, I mean, there's no play call on the call sheet that says interception right, interception left, right? And so, you know, we went with what we felt gave us the best chance in that game. And you know, you looked at how we rushed the ball in the second half. We had 7 rushes for 11 yards. Weber State did a great job adjusting at halftime to shut down the run. And And our only real drive in the second half, you know, that we really moved the ball and got in scoring territory was where we threw eight passes in a row. So some fluky losses. I'll be honest, some of the toughest losses I've ever had in my career. Some of the craziest things I've ever seen. But, you know, it's a gut punch. But the best part is how you react. And it's what I tell the guys all the time and our boys is this is life. This is life. Sometimes things don't go your way. Sometimes your heart gets broken. But how are you going to react? Because one day you're going to have little kids and a wife and a family looking at you for how you react when tough times hit. And so, you know, we're just really proud of our kids and how they're coming to work every day. It's a lunch pail attitude, you know, hard hat attitude of we're in it for the long haul. We're getting better every day. And we see it. When you turn on the tape, we see it. We are getting clearly better. And so, you know, it's all about the process, not the end product, the process. Because when you take care of the process, the product will soon follow. And we're building a good product, and we're anxious for it to show up in the win column here shortly.
UNC Bears offensive coordinator Blair Peterson joining us. You're right. I mean, there's no doubt when I look at this offense, Coach, you're seeing the strides. You know, last year, I think they were pretty low. Bears were pretty low in a lot of those offensive numbers. But you're seeing that you guys have the ability to move that football. You saw it against Weber State, taking that 21-7 lead into the fourth quarter. Now, there's that old cliche, Coach, and you helped me out with this one, where people say, hey, as a team, we just have to learn how to win. You've won individually. We've known Coach Lamb's won individually. Heck, even Jacob Sermon in his high school days and going up through the college ranks, they've won. But as a team, that can be easier said than done, just finding a way to close out a game where you're ultimately finding a way to win that game.
100%. Winning is a learned skill. And I've told our guys that. I've told our staff that. I've talked to Coach Lamb about winning is a learned skill. You know, just because we've got some guys that are talented doesn't mean we know how to win. Right. And so it's a collective effort of putting all that talent together, learning how to finish, learning how to strain when you're tired, learning how to find a way to make up that difference when the game's in the, you know, hanging in the balance and you're exhausted. But winning is a learned skill. And that's what we're in the process of doing. And that's when I go back to what I've already said, like you're seeing more guys when you watch the tape. You're seeing more guys make winning and championship efforts. It's, you know, Brave Monroe, who had a heck of a game in his first start versus Weber State. It's on our big touchdown run that David Afari ran, Brave Monroe gets the block to seal it off so he can finish it off. And instead of getting tackled at the six, his effort, his championship effort, allowed us to score. We're seeing more and more of that from multiple guys across the board. And so it's learning how to finish. It's learning how to strain. You know, if you were to come out and hear our practices, everything is, hey, it's time to finish. We got to finish. We got to strain. We got to push. And so, you know, it's a learned trait. It's a learned skill. It's something that just doesn't happen. And, you know, part of this thing is learning how to win is also learning our personnel. And Coach Lamb talks about it all the time. We're in year one, you know, and you know, you think you come out of training camp, you think you know your team. But at the same time, we got a lot of young players that haven't been under the bright lights of a real game. And so it was learning how do they react to that when we're in a real game. And we've learned a lot about our team in the last, you know, 5 weeks. And you know, some things we learned that, you know, we thought different coming out of camp, and okay, cool. Now we need to adjust and pivot and whatnot. And that's been a big part of it, but I think we're in a good spot as far as knowing what we have, what we're working with, and what we need to improve on going forward. But, you're absolutely right. Winning is a learned skill, and that's what we're in the process of doing. Coach Bowden, you know, Bobby Bowden once said, and I think he's so right, when you took over programs, he said, when you take over a program, at first you lose big and then you lose close. And then you win close, and then you win big. And that is all part of the process. And I saw that come to fruition last year when I was at Southern Utah, and we flipped that program and whatnot. So we're in that process, and we're going to keep going at it day in and day out.
Well, and you talk about that past with you two at Southern Utah, how they improved so much. I mean, when you were there, 63 spots in the national rankings. We know your experience with former first-round draft pick Zach Wilson. We got a chance to see what Zach Wilson was all about with the Broncos last week. But you were with him for three seasons. You worked with this guy. So you've seen a little bit of everything thrown at you, and at the end of the day, you stay the course and you can ultimately fix this thing. And I think that that's what a lot of fans that are looking at the Bears are excited about with you and Coach Ed Lamb and what you guys are putting together ultimately with this offense.
Yeah, we're excited about it. And I've been really fortunate to be around a lot of really good quarterbacks. Worked with Zach for a couple of years, worked with Jaren Hall for 3 years, who obviously was drafted last year by the Vikings in the fifth round. My guy last year, Justin Miller, who's at Southern Utah, that guy's a stud. And I'll be honest, Jacob Sermon, I think he fits in that same category as all those guys. He has all those winning traits and all those skills. And, you know, I wish we had him for another year or two because he's awesome. And you know, when you're a quarterback, you get too much credit, too much blame and whatnot. But he's got all the pieces and the tools to be really, really special. And so we wish we had him a little bit longer. But, you know, we've got a lot of pieces in place. We're just young, and we're going to continue to develop. And that's what this program is all about, is player development. And so we're excited to continue to develop every single day. And then, you know, once we hit the offseason, when that time comes, we'll go at it. But we've got a lot of exciting pieces in place. And so this thing has a bright future.
Offensive coordinator for the Bears, Blair Peterson, joining us. How frustrating is that, though, in the college game? That's what's so tough about the college game, especially when you come in as a new staff here taking over for the Bears. You know, hey, we are building this thing for the future. But there are those guys like Jacob Sermon that are there for the now. And that's a difficult process. It's a difficult line to walk because, like you said, man, if you could have him for another year or two, it would be fun to see what you and Coach Lamb could do. But at the same time, this is it for him on the college scale. So how frustrating is that process in college football?
You know, I think it's frustrating could be a word you could use. But at the same time, I think it's one of those things you say, you know what, you have this opportunity and you're a great talent and you're a great young man. Let's make the most of your opportunity. And at the same time, I think it goes both ways, right? You invest in a guy like Jacob Sermon. But also, your program gets better by having people like Jacob Sermon, even if it's only for a year. I'm a firm believer in that. I'm not one of those guys that says, well, let's just build for the future and pass up on this guy who's talented, but he's a senior, and let's just start this sophomore, this and that. I don't think that's the right way, because I think your team misses out and loses lessons from a guy who's been around for a long time. And so, yeah, would I love to have him? Absolutely. I love that guy. He's a stud. But, you know, that's all part of it. So we'll put Sermon in the best possible position we can to have individual success, but also team success above everything else. And then when that time comes, it's you know, we'll give hugs and we'll stay in touch forever, and you build great relationships. And you say, okay, who's next? Who's going to step in to be the next guy in that spot? And we'll grow from it. And at the same time, these guys that are waiting in the wings, it's their responsibility to be preparing every single day, because when their time comes and their opportunity comes to compete for that job, they've got to be ready. And if not, someone else will. And so it's all part of it. It's all eclectic, right? It's part of the college game. I wish we had a guy like, you know, Patrick Mahomes. You know, you got him for 10 years or he's locked up on a franchise contract. That'd be beautiful. But unfortunately, it's not part of it. But, you know, you just get accustomed to working in that type of scenario.
And that's why the work never ends for you guys, because even when you got the guy, you're looking for the next guy. And then you're looking for that guy down the road, too. Coach, quickly, when you look at Sacramento State, obviously, they're putting together a fine season, 4-1 on the year, 1-1 in Big Sky Conference play. But last week against Northern Arizona, they win 31-30, but the Lumberjacks were able to run the ball on the Hornets. You had Devin Starling ran for, over 100 yards, almost 120 yards and two touchdowns. So when you look at that, I know the film's going to tell you a lot of detailed information there, but just for a guy like me, when I look at those box scores, I think, man, you might be able to really set up that ground game, and then that would ultimately set up even more passing opportunities for Sermon and company.
Yeah, you know, Sac State's got a really, really good defense. They've had a really good program for the last 3 or 4 years. Here's the thing that I don't want to get lost when you look at those scores. Northern Arizona's a whole lot better than their record indicates and that people think, right? And so, I mean, they very well should have won that game. They threw an interception with a couple minutes left in the ball game in the end zone. You know, they were in the low red. They threw a pick. And they very well could have and should have won that game. And so let's not sleep on Northern Arizona. They're doing some good things over there, and obviously just beat Weber State. And so, you know, Sac State's a good program, really good defense. They've got a lot of really good players over there. And I think every week in the Big Sky, you've got a challenge. And, you know, last week people are saying, hey, you're going against Weber State. And historically, they're one of the best defenses in the country under what Jay Hill built there before he went to BYU, and they're a top 10 defense and yada, yada, yada. You know what? Sac State's really good. The team we're going to play next week after Sac State, Cal Poly, they're on the rise. And you got every team week in and week out is going to present a unique but very, very difficult challenge. And so, you know, Sac State, they're coming in and they've got a great team. They're having a good season. They've got playmakers all over. But we're going to try to take advantage of where we feel we can you know, I don't want to say expose them, but, you know, where we feel like we have a little bit of an advantage or where we can use our strengths and accentuate our strengths, and we'll see how it goes. But, you know, it's all about having a balanced game plan and just giving what the defense takes you.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing the Bears get back out on the field this weekend. going up against Sacramento State. We'll have that game here for you on KFK with the Blue and Gold pregame show at noon with kickoff at 1 o'clock. Coach, I love following you. I love listening to you talk, too, about this philosophy because it does take time. And it does seem like UNC, in my opinion, finally has the right staff to do it. So we wish you the best of luck this weekend, and I'm sure we'll catch up, but throughout the course of the season, too.
I appreciate you. I appreciate your time.
All right, Blair Peterson, the offensive coordinator for the UNC Bears. That's the tough part for me. If it wasn't for Jacob Sermon Angel, I would have totally just written this season off as this is the long game here. I wouldn't have any expectations. I believe in the coaching staff. But with Sermon, I do feel that sense of urgency. You know, you want to be able to take advantage of a stud quarterback like that. And right now, facts are the facts. They're 0-5. Looking to bounce back. Could they beat Sacramento State this weekend? I mean, Sac State, as we said, 4-1. And I know Coach is saying all the right things about Northern Arizona. Northern Arizona, I think I misspoke. They're 2-4, actually. But they're getting their wins in the Big Sky Conference. So it could be a pretty decent team there.
Yeah, I think NAU I think them and UNC are very similar in how they built their programs and where they stand in the Big Sky picture. NAU may be just a couple of steps ahead, but I'm excited to see what this offense looks like after a week or 2 weeks of break, and you put a lot of good stuff in that Weber State game. What can you got to get some confidence from that. And hopefully just put together a full four quarters.
Yeah, we'll see. 36 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. More Broncos Chiefs. We got them ready to rock and roll tonight. Can they cover 10.5 points against the Kansas City Chiefs? That could be a tall task. Maybe the Broncos shocked the world tonight on old Amazon Prime. It is our Tight-Knit Brewing poll question of the day, available at theholeshow.com. Go ahead and vote there. Will the Broncos cover plus 10.5 tonight against the Chiefs? Yes, no, not only cover, they win. Are you saying that? Let's go. We'll check out the results coming back on the other side. 37 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I didn't get this question in. My bad. From the 954-991. Question for UNC OC. Does he think his best wide receivers get enough targets throughout the course of each game? From a fan perspective, it seems the offensive playmakers aren't getting enough touches each game. Well, that's probably part of the whole learning thing, you know, with this offensive attack mixing in with these players. I mean, I don't know, Angel. What's your thoughts on that?
I would agree with that. You haven't really seen a receiver kind of separate themselves from the group. Jordan Riles is kind of their big guy on the outside, and they use a lot of Zane Zinicola and Ty Arrington as kind of your – they're very much kind of Wes Welker type of receivers, very in the slot a lot. And they run a lot of those just short little slant routes to try to attack that middle of the field where the linebackers are. So I still think you're waiting for that one receiver to pop off, but you got to love at least the running backs that you have with Stewart and Afari back there.
Seems like they're building something there with the run game. You know, maybe they can take advantage of that this weekend against Sacramento State. Seemed like Northern Arizona ran pretty well on them. Hikes Ace Hardware, here's in Greeley, 1722 9th Street, veteran and locally owned, Greeley's original hardware location since 1954. That's Hikes Ace Hardware here in Greeley. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Great to catch up with him, though. That was fun. I liked that. Liked that chat. Broncos Chiefs tonight. We know we're going to be annoyed with the Taylor Swift stuff and all that, but here's the actual game portion of it. Yeah, it very well could be Travis Kelce does his thing. He's listed as questionable right now, but do you think there's any way he doesn't play this game? Amazon Prime, Thursday Night Football, the lone NFL game on TV, and, well, kind of TV, and Taylor Swift's going to be at the game.
Yeah, I mean, Travis, he plays for these types of moments. He loves these games. I don't think Taylor would be at the game if he wasn't playing.
I don't
playing.
Think so either. That is very telling.
I'm keeping an eye on the spread. I don't know if him coming in would really change it from 10.5. It may boost it a point or so. But, yeah, if Taylor's coming, she's probably got a text this morning and say, hey, babe, I'm good. Let's go.
Yeah. This is why Taylor Swift should now not be allowed to bet.
She's got inside information.
See that? That's the flaw in my plan about saying I don't think any athlete should be able to bet on any sport. I don't know how I feel about that truly. But if I'm, you know, a lot of these guys, like Nuggets players, Avs players, Broncos, some of them are friends. So they're good enough friends where they can just be like, hey, I'm not playing. But that would go for the family as well. You know, if the husband, who's a player, can't bet, but his wife can, she knows everything he knows. Like, can you, where does it stop for the NFL? Like, she could be placing the same bets.
I'd be interested if there's a crossover between Swifties and sports betting.
No.
Are they getting into it a little bit?
You know, I really like the spread tonight.
Well, Taylor does a lot of stuff, like a lot of her songs with numbers and things. So they may, you know, 22 or something, and they'll see that and put money on it.
When we talk about it, it just makes
like
me so irritated.
16, 13 is her lucky number. I don't know.
That was good. It was kind of like,
what it is,
man. We know our numbers, dude. It's wild. I think Isaiah.
Should Broncos fans do like a little game tonight? Every time they show her, just throw one back.
What do you think the over-under is for that?
At least 6 in the first half. And I think that's just because Kelsey's going to have a game.
6 times in the first half.
Let's set it over under 5.5.
Is that too low? I don't know.
I mean, they may be listening to fans and say, hey, we'll cut to her, but only when Kelsey does something. You know, they're going to show her as soon as the game starts.
Yeah, do you think they slow down a little bit?
Kelsey makes a big play, they'll show her reaction. If he gets a touchdown early, they'll show her reaction.
Do you think they slow down because the NFL came out last week and had to, like, say, here's why we're doing this?
No, I saw that was, hey, fans, be quiet.
Get used to it.
We're doing this.
We're doing this because our numbers are going up in a big way, and we're going to make more money.
So they're going to talk about that, and they're going to show her from the red carpet last night, all of that.
You know what I'm more interested in? More so than Taylor Swift?
Tacos.
Obviously. Did we find Bigfoot? Did we find Bigfoot?
I don't know. I saw that video.
Oh, I watched it too. Where was that? It was in Colorado, right?
It was.
Was it near Pueblo? Pueblo?
It was located in Silverton in Durango.
Oh, okay. I guess not. I don't know why I thought Pueblo.
The community notes on Twitter say, is part of a quite popular Bigfoot-themed expedition trailer company called Sasquatch Trailers.
Seriously?
The owner regularly dresses up as Sasquatch.
Did we all get duped?
Yeah.
I actually thought, that was my first thought, was it was some guy knew the train was coming by, and he was going to dress as Sasquatch.
That's a regular thing for him.
So we didn't find
Sasquatch. Just Jerry on a Tuesday.
Well, I mean, we've come close. Like, that was close. Then there was
the video is so far away.
Well, and then he like
tell what it is.
Well, he lowers down, and he just becomes one with the grass. So I'm like, well, that's crafty. That's what the Bigfoot would do. He'd just camouflage himself into the grass.
Are you more Bigfoot or Sasquatch when you're titling?
Like what you're calling? Both. I change it up. Depend on
like Bigfoot
depends on the company.
More, I can relate more to Bigfoot. Not that I have
Bigfoot's
a Bigfoot,
more,
but it's like that's a person or a like Harry and the Hendersons type of person.
Yeah, Bigfoot to me seems more cartoony. Like it's Bigfoot. Sasquatch is like, yeah, that's scary.
Yeah.
You remember like 8 years ago or maybe less, maybe more, I don't know, but it was some former like security guard or former police chief or something got a Bigfoot suit, stuffed it full of like raccoon guts and stuff like that, and then left it there. And someone found it, and they're like, "It was on scene, like it was breaking news."
I was like probably in like fifth grade for me. But I remember that.
This wasn't like History Channel finding Sasquatch. This actually was breaking news, like on legitimate news services that said, you know, have we found Bigfoot? And then they would go into the report, and then the Bigfoot was taken away. The fake suit they found was taken away, put into a truck. They took it away for examination. And the people that were the witnesses were out there like, yeah, as they took the body away, other little big feet were creeping around the trees and stuff. And then the whole thing was a gigantic hoax.
Yeah, that was in August of 2008.
Was it that freaking long ago?
CNN Bigfoot claim a fake, ex-enthusiast says.
That was that long ago, huh?
I remember that. I was very fascinated by that story.
Oh, I was too. I was like, it's real. It's real.
Found him.
Yeah. Noob says game is also on Channel 7 tonight. All right. Thank you, Noob. I got the Prime, but I probably will watch it on 7 because I want to flip back. We got Nuggets preseason game tonight, too.
Yeah. Taking on the Bulls.
Must win.
After what happened last time.
Yeah, must win. Stupid Bulls.
Cannot do that to Brady again.
Dixon, you say you get irritated when you talk about it, yet you keep talking about it on your show that you dictate discussion. Yes.
You dictate discussion.
I get annoyed by things sometimes. LeBron James, for example. He annoys me. Do I talk about him a lot? Yes, it's a topic of discussion.
You just did.
The discussion of Taylor Swift is why is there a discussion in the first place, therefore makes us have a discussion about her. Dixon.
By all means, Brady doesn't like talking about Taylor Swift.
No, it's part. I have ESPN on in the studio here, and I've got a picture of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift back to back right now.
Like a diehard poster?
They're just sitting, standing there, and then now we're talking about it. So you think it's me? I'm talking about how frustrating it is. I'd rather talk about Bigfoot. 3 hours. I'm interested in that. Taylor Swift, I wish she was more like Bigfoot. We'd just go away and we can't find her. That'd be great. 12:49 the time. It's a whole show. Powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Have Friday night plans? We do. KFKA's Game of the Week, presented by A1 Organics.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Welcome back to the whole show. Dixon, you don't get it. You don't get it, man. First Advantage text line's 888-530-0043. If you guys want to shoot us a text, Dixon says, you can't go a segment without talking about it. You mean Taylor Swift, sir. Okay, let's be classy here.
She has a name.
She has a name. You should know that. You're a Chiefs fan. You should be all day, every day, thinking about Taylor Swift. He said, you can't go a segment without talking about her. Did I talk about her in the entire first hour?
Well, your team can't go a game without showing her.
Right. Well, she's on ESPN, commercial break right now, but we're getting back to it. Doing the exact same thing you wish people would quit doing. Let's talk about the actual game. Or are the Broncos that bad? It's the only thing to really talk about. Maybe both. Here's the thing. When something takes over your world, like Taylor Swift did in July when she was here for her concert, and it takes over your social media, it takes over your Facebook, and then now it's in your sports world. Yeah, you kind of have to talk about it. You remember my take years ago when you weren't here, but Kaepernick was doing his thing, and I was more or less like, hey, let's just try to keep the crazy politics out of sports. Let's not do the kneeling thing. Let's not get into all that stuff. You want to do stuff? Let's not do it in our jerseys on the field. But then I was talking about it, giving it life at the same time. Sometimes you have to talk about those things that you don't like and you're annoyed by and you want to go away in order to help make them go away. The NFL heard that so much 2 weeks ago that they put out a statement trying to explain themselves. Maybe if we keep going, it will go away. It is what it is. Might as well have fun with it. She will be all over the tube tonight. Guaranteed. And instead of talking about how good Patrick Mahomes is and how good Travis Kelce is, they're going to be talking about Taylor Swift. If I were a Chiefs fan, I would be doing what I'm doing today. Stop talking about Taylor Swift. But it's part of it. And again, I'm talking about it because we're all trying to express how stupid it is and annoyed we are by it. Go watch ESPN. They're not annoyed by it. They are talking about how great it is. We are fighting it. Kind of like when they were talking about Joel Embiid versus Nikola Jokic. We talked about Embiid because we wanted to display our frustration as to why he was getting more play than Nikola Jokic. Same thing. Taylor Swift is Joel Embiid. She is politics and sports. She is everything negative in my world that I want to see. I don't want pop music that suits a 14-year-old girl. I don't want to talk about Joel Embiid being better than Nikola Jokic, and I don't really care about politics and sports.
What do Embiid and Taylor Swift have in common?
I don't want to talk about them.
They're ringless.
That's good. It's not that I want... Dixon's trying to spin it as, you know, she's in your head and all this stuff. No, no, no. We're fighting the good fight, my friend. We're fighting the good fight. We get it. You have said it 50 times now, and we feel the same way. You can hear it, can't you? Dixon used to come at me about Elway and do all this stuff, but every time I mention how annoying it is, he's like, "We get it, man. You said it. Do you feel the same way? Because I don't think you do, bro. I don't think you do. I think that a lot of Chiefs people are leaning in on this. I saw the videos. I saw the fan base. They're all like, who's that person in the popcorn crate, bro? That's Taylor Swift. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, you guys are all in on this. Enjoy your Taylor Swift. If it comes at the expense of the Broncos never winning a Super Bowl, fine. We got the Nuggets and the Avs. Leave our people alone, Taylor Swift, and we're good. 12:57 the time. We got the Thursday night special coming up. We got Jesse Kurtz coming up. All that and more. And I'm sorry, Chiefs fans. That's your life now. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. It's Tebow on steroids. We'll be right back.